Welcome back inside the playground. We were having a wonderful time on the playground this morning. Michigan wins 51-14. Jeff Childs here with you in studio. Jay-Z to my left, Tony O to my right. And we want to hear from you. We want your thoughts. Who was your star of the game, your performer of the game in Michigan's 51-14 win? Again, you can give us a call, 734-998-1050. You can tweet myself at Jeff Childs, ITH, and also WTKA underscore playground. And the man himself, Matt Missler, the Miz, running the board today. So we'd like to thank him for his great work.
Oh, you don't have to sugarcoat me this morning. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, you're welcome, Miz. So, talking a little bit about this game, 51-14 final for Michigan. And we were on the run game early in the show, took a couple of calls on that. Michigan, there's no way around it, an abysmal day on the ground. They finished with 119 yards and two ball carriers, finished with negative yardage. You had another four finish with less than 10 yards rushing. And there's no way around it that into the heart of the Big Ten schedule, the weather gets cold. You know, it might be a little bit of a Bo Schembechler in three clouds of dust mentality, but you're going to have to run the football, and Michigan's going to figure that out as we go along. But for now, against some of the lesser competition guys, they can feast on this. They can throw the ball and throw downfield with authority, and they did that game. Wilton Spate, so impressed with his poise in the pocket, 21 out of 37, 312 yards, four touchdowns, and more importantly, no interceptions. But in the Michigan receiving game, I think if you asked a lot of people after this game who their star of the game would be, one of the big three, Jake Butt, Amara Darboh, J.U. Chesson, these were the guys that carried the mail for Michigan. You only had a few other players with a couple of catches there. Poji Hill, Bunting, Smith, two catches out of the backfield as well. But I want to talk about that first scoring drive, or actually Michigan's third touchdown, but their first long play of the afternoon. 1:55 left to go, the first quarter. Wilton Spate saw Amara Darboh cutting down the middle of the field on a seam. And it was a one-play drive, guys. One play, Michigan gets into the end zone, 45-yard pass. Wilton Spate on point on that throw. He did a nice job of leading Darboh just a little bit so that it would avoid the defender. And he sort of overthrew that a little bit, but those are minor things to get upset about. But threw a great ball down the middle of the field. Amara Darboh as well on that play outrushed his defender on the play and made a great catch on the fingertips, brought it in. And Darboh, a big day, five catches, 111 yards, two touchdowns. What did you guys see on that play and from this receiving core that really boosts your confidence that this can be one of the Big Ten's best receiving units going forward?
Well, we saw a lot more this week than we did last week. I thought it gave me some confidence to see Spate spread the ball out a bit. I mean, we know that Darboh and Chesson and Butt are great receivers, but we saw Poji get two catches. We saw Khalid Hill, Ian Bunting. So it was nice to see some more guys get involved. But yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good day for the receivers overall. I mean, you know, four touchdowns. I think if you combine the top three, it would be something like 270 yards, something around there. So, you know, it was a good day overall for the receiving corps.
Yeah, 328 for the receivers. Seven, I believe, you know, to me, I don't think it was a great game for the receivers. Why? Because they had to be the ones catching the ball, because pretty much they're putting, I think, a lot of guys up front and rushing the quarterback. So, Wilton, he did a great job getting those guys out there. But we saw Butt drop two that should have been caught by pretty much anyone. All three of us, all four of us, could have been able to catch those balls.
You're being generous, Jay-Z.
Darboh, 105 catches for 111 yards. That's what we expect from him. Chesson, 84 yards himself. The smaller guys, you're going to see that. I would like to see more of it. 27 catches for 328 yards. That's what I believe that they were going to have. You're going to shut down the running game. It's going to open up the receiving game. For this opponent, I don't think they did. There was more they could have done, as far as the receivers are concerned, because they were playing a lesser opponent of guys who were trying to get as close to the quarterback as they could. But he dropped a few of those, and those can't happen against bigger things. Those Those are the opposite of, you know, you getting a home run ball by, you know, having a one big play. When you drop some of those obvious catches, even and at Michigan, we really look and take part of everything. That really hurts the team.
Yeah, Dan Dierdorf mentioned on the broadcast a few times that, boy, Jake Butt, such a great player, All-American, going to go high in the draft. Great hands, like really soft hands, beautiful hands. And then
beautiful.
immediately after a few
hand
of
model.
Those plays.
Hand model type hands.
Yeah, George Costanza hands. But, you know, Dierdorf said that, and then a few plays later, Jake Butt just flat out dropped one. I was here with you, Jay-Z's in studio. I didn't see a few of those live. We had the game on the computer, but... you know, that's a guy that if he is going to repeat as an All-American, if he is going to be a high draft pick, he's got to make those plays. He's got to make both the easy catches and the hard ones. And he's got to make the hard catches look easy. But this guy, I think Jake Butt, he had a rough day blocking as well. I think there are a few plays where whether it was a linebacker, he struggled in the blocking game. And that's another thing, if you want to really dissect and dive into his game yesterday, there were some issues with. Jake Butt's a guy that if he is going to repeat as that All-American, he's got to make those easy catches. And he, flat out, you can't say anything more. He can't drop those balls.
Yeah, can I spit game on the another side as you talk All-American? Jordan Lewis, does it hurt his chance of becoming another All-American missing the first two games? I believe it does. I believe in some, you know, there are people going to look at that because... For a stat like his, it's going to be interceptions, knockdowns. Other than that, there's not too much to look at as someone like Jordan Lewis. So when they look at his games, and more likely if a lot of people know that, hey, he could have played these two games, it's just precautionary that they sat him out, I think it hurts his chance of becoming an All-American again.
I agree with you there.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I mean, there's only a finite number of games, Jay-Z. He's not in there that knocks down the stat totals, that knocks down his participation in those games and his impact on the games. And yes, you can look at an All-American as stats and sort of crystallize it as just those things.
It's hard to do with stats. It's very hard to do. Like, what's in the area you want it? You have the interceptions, you have the knockdowns, but after that, it's just really how powerful he is on the field of not being thrown at.
Sure.
And that's a hard stat to look at.
Sure. Are you targeted? How often are you targeted? We know back in the day that Charles Woodson shut down one side of the field. I don't think Jordan Lewis is that type of corner. Teams did not throw on Woodson. I think they're going to throw on
Woodson
Lewis.
Woodson did it with a rose in his mouth.
Yes, he did.
That was after the game.
Yes. So Woodson shut down a half of the field, and I don't think Jordan Lewis is that guy, and I think teams might think, whatever, like he's a shorter corner, we're going to be able to throw on him. He does such a great job of not only where he's at in relation to the receiver, but anticipating a play, sort of negating the height issue, whether it's jumping up and getting a pass breakup, knocking down a ball. He's able to affect the game for the defense in other ways than just being a lockdown corner, a tall corner.
And we're going to have to see him come out. Hopefully we'll see him next game. And it shouldn't matter what, I mean, unless he's injured, like he can't play injured, he needs to be out there because he needs to get reps himself. I don't care what you do in practice, it's different when you're playing a different helmet, and he's going to have to get out there. One thing I do know from stat-wise, remember I said I used to answer those phone calls during the Rodriguez era, during the Hoke era, and I do, the one thing, you also looked at who had the biggest, you know, on the top of the tackles, it was those Kovacs. And where did Kovacs play? He wasn't playing linebacker.
Secondary.
Yeah, you see Peppers, Gary, McCray. Those guys were the ones leading in the tackles yesterday. And when you see that, and Wormley was the other one, those top four guys, that's good to see because, yes, they are getting to the second level, but it also means that people like Peppers, they're getting off their blocks and getting to where they need to get, either in the backfield or chasing the guy down from whether side to side. That's a great stat to see, and I hope to see that all year long.
Speaking of McCray, I mean, how did he drop that one pass that went right into his chest?
The easiest way is if he could catch that, he would be on offense. He would already be on offense. That's why you don't expect the defensive guys to ever catch it.
Harbaugh would say, you're already moving over to offense. It's done. Right. Figured it out. Yeah. Well, yeah, I think he all Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week last week, and he had a fantastic game. He finished with 6 tackles and 3 solo tackles. And 1.5 tackles for loss. So you know, maybe he didn't stand out like he did last week. But like you said, Jay-Z, I think there are other aspects of the defense this week. And the corners and really the whole secondary wasn't really challenged, you might say, as they might have been in weeks prior. I mean, UCF only attempted 22 passes. Holman went out before the end of the first half. So the secondary wasn't really challenged. But I think for me, the defensive line, and we saw a breakout game from a guy like Rashawn Gary, to where there were a few times where UCF, you know, they're running the spread, the read option, they're going to do certain things to try to confuse him. He looked like a freshman on a few plays in this game, early in this game in the first half. He finished with 6 total tackles, half a sack, 2.5 tackles for loss. So I think going forward, you look at the defensive line, I think the light will come on for him, and it's already sort of getting there on the defensive line.
Well, you're going to see those flashes from time to time for everyone. For him, it's great to see him out there, and for him being just a freshman, being able to have, like you said, those tackles for loss, those are big. Those are going to boost that confidence for next week, and that's what we want to see with Taco and Monet being down.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that our secondary did do a pretty good job challenging them. I mean, they only ended the day with 56 yards passing on offense. So
right.
That right there is pretty good.
Do you think they had to go with the run? Because obviously they couldn't pass it.
Right, and they only completed their passes 6 times, so that wasn't a great stat for them on offense. But for our defense, I was pretty impressed with that. And the other thing that I liked is they made what was supposed to be their top receiver, Tre'Quan Smith. They made him really a non-factor in the game. I mean, I don't.
0 catches.
Yeah. So I was pretty impressed with the secondary.
Yeah, I was the whole defensive side. Obviously, special teams wins the team of the week because the special teams did so well.
Yeah, they get the gold star.
You don't usually see that week after week. And we finally saw a punt. I know people think that's great. But as far as it would go, linebackers and defensive line, with those guys being out the way they stepped up, that's what you want to see of that side of the ball. And Don's gonna change up a little things because they need to get to the outside a little bit faster. Because as we just watched the play, the closest guy to the guy that Killens who scored the 87-yard touchdown was Glasgow, who somehow got all the way back, and he had no chance of catching him.
Yeah. Yeah, Don Brown, I think, will, like we were talking about to the offense, he will adjust certain things scheme-wise, formation-wise, blitzes as we go along, and they'll be, and a lot of that's positioning and taking an angle on that play. Michigan in this game, I think a few times, like you talked about, Jay-Z, the 87-yard run, the angle of pursuit, the angle of going for the tackle on those plays was a little bit lacking in my opinion. I think Don Brown, and defense is all about not just want to, but positioning as well. He'll put them in a better position on the field to know where the play is going, where to expect it, where to be as we go along. So a great day, I thought, overall for the defense outside of a few plays, but the defense, especially on the line and in the secondary, did what they were supposed to do in this day. Well, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phones and talk to Dan from Cincinnati. Dan, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Hey, good. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah, the one unit that I had concerns about coming into the season was the offensive line. I mean, last year the pass protection clearly improved, but we still somehow need to be able to knock people off the ball and run. When you go to East Lansing or you go and play the Buckbillies up here at the end of the year, you go in there one-dimensional and laying all this on Wilton, no way in hell they win those games without some kind of running game. That was my concern going into the season. I expected Ty Isaac to really step up. But it's been the same problem the last 4 or 5 years. We can't knock people off the ball and run it consistently. And you take away the bowl game last year, and I think part of that was because Florida sort of laid down in the second half. But we have not been able with this group, and I know they're a bunch of highly recruited guys, but we haven't been able to consistently run the ball with this group, and we're going to find out real quick here in these next 3 games what the season is going to be all about, whether we're going to be a Big Ten championship contender or playoff contender, because if we can't run the ball, we're not going to win those 2 games on the road.
All right, yeah, I definitely agree, and, yeah, that's sort of what we started off the show with, talking about the offensive line, and there are a lot of pieces there, a lot of guys that, I mean, just sheer size alone, looking at these guys like Ben Bradison, a 6'5", 310-pound freshman, And then you look at Michael Onwenu, who's 6'3", 350 pounds. So the size is there, the ability is there, the girth is there for the offensive line. I think they just have to put it all together, realize really where they're where they have to be in a running play in order to best help the running back. I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to get out there, find that crease for the running back and make it easier for them. And that's the thing. We touched on this a little bit, guys, but not just the big pancake block, not just the block where you look at that, it kind of wows you, but getting to the second level, really pushing back a defensive lineman, I think that's the goal going forward for the offensive line.
Yeah, and I think if they can, like you said, I mean, I think if they can put that together, you know, we have the backs, the running backs now, where I don't think that that they're going to be so much of an issue. It's more of just getting the offensive line, you know, tidied up a bit and hopefully opening some holes.
Yeah, and I look at it as I wasn't so concerned as far as Dan is. I don't look at the season overall and say that we can't go to Michigan State. Look at what Furman, come on. Do I have to do that? I know that was
28-14, Jay Z.
It was a point that he was trying to make, but going into the season, that's not my biggest worry. And I think that that's something they do have to figure out. But I don't think when we get to Ohio State, if they haven't figured it out, yes, obviously. But they're going to have to change things up. As far as the running game's concerned, they had to have some kind of line to get those passes away, to get Darbo downfield. So you can look at it both ways. Yes, you have to have it all set up. The line guys have to block well enough, run or pass, no matter what, to get the quarterback able, because we don't have Denard anymore. We don't have a guy that can just run around and make plays. So because of that, they did well enough. Yes, they can get a lot better. There are guys on the line that we might see removed from the line if they can't get better by Wisconsin, because that'll be our first big trouble game. So that's the way I look at it. But they'll figure it out. They have the coaches, they have the people, and finally they're getting the players that they need to have this team to be where they're at.
I don't want to give any credit where credit's due for UCF at all, but going back to their game last week against South Carolina State,
that powerhouse
team in the FCS. Look out there,
SEC bound, I believe.
Yes. They only gave up 85 yards on the ground. So with the 119, they're currently, just took a look real quick online, 33, they're ranked 33rd overall in the NCAA in rushing defense, only giving up a total of 102 on average. Compared to how they were last year, that's significantly a hell of a lot better, but at the same time, don't want to boost up the Golden Knights, you know, glory.
Right, we know you're on their bandwagon.
You're right, because trust me, I live in the past of the Fiesta Bowl.
No, Miz, that's a great point, and thank you for that. I mean, yeah, this is a team that 0-12 last year, but they have a great coach in Scott Frost, and we'll talk about Mr. Frost and his comments later on in the show. But, I mean, yeah, he's turned around that defense compared to where they were last year. And, again, Michigan is going to face, you know, incrementally better teams as we get along here into this schedule. But, Jay-Z, you're talking about they held up on pass blocking for pass plays, and they did that. I think those are two different sort of skill sets between pass blocking and run blocking, but those are skills that no matter what type of play is run will translate.
Well, yeah, they have to work both ways. There is a difference. There's a definite difference between the two. If you know, there's guys that are on the inside that were exposed this week. Those guys are going to have to clean that up. If not, what ends up happening is you're going to have to use a running back, a fullback, or a tight end to help block those guys, and that takes away from someone that could finally get the ball and do something with it. You don't want to see that happen. I don't think we're there at that point. But at sometime during the year, well, we might have to do that. Right now, maybe. Right now, maybe. We have to wait and see what happens after this week. We have to wait and see how Colorado, what they do to change their game from looking at the tape from the past 2 weeks, and same with Michigan. Right now, I'm sure Coach Harbaugh and everyone else, they're watching this and they're picking it apart, and next week they'll be a better team for it.
Yeah, lots for Michigan to work on, especially in the offensive line in terms of blocking, and that's the thing. You know, if we get down to the essence of it, football is about blocking your man 11 on 11, making those plays, and if you're committing more guys, whether it's pass protection or run protection, to the block, Jay-Z, tight end, fullback, running back. That's taking away from other passing outlets out of the backfield, whether we're talking about getting the ball on a screen to Isaac or to Davion Smith or to, you know, spreading the ball around to Ian Bunting and a few more of the tight ends. Those things all affect every other aspect of the game. So Michigan cleans up the run game, and the offensive linemen are, you know, dialed into the game enough to where those creases are continually happening, like we saw with Evans on the big hole on his run last week. That's, I think, the goal. That's what we want to see from the Michigan offensive line, is those type of holes consistently. So Michigan cleans that up. I think, you know, going to the Big Ten schedule, there will be adjustments made. The coaching staff will look at the film, but that's something that Michigan will have to work on as we move forward. So, again, if you want to reach us here at WTK, you can give us a call, 734-998-1050. You can follow us and tweet us on Twitter, at WTKA_playground. And when we come back on the playground, we're going to talk about participation, freshman participation, what you thought about players that did see action in this game. And we'll be back after this on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.